Hello and welcome. Today, I'm taking you to a small coastal town in Queensland, to a backyard that edged onto mangrove wetlands, where I learned a lesson about peaceful coexistence from a cat and a wallaby. I had two cats then, Mocha and Luna, little adventurers with rules, no going out after dark and always under supervision. One evening, around 9:30, I called Mocha for dinner. Nothing. That cold prickle hit. I stepped outside and saw her frozen, body tight, eyes locked on the mangroves. Then I saw why. A small wallaby, likely a pademelon, had stepped out of the dark. It could have gone wrong fast. I did the counterintuitive thing. I didn't move, didn't call or clap or rush. I followed Mocha's gaze and stayed still. What surprised me was her restraint. No lunge, no rush. She sat, head high, evaluating. The wallaby stood alert, ears swiveling like tiny radar discs. A breath later, it took a small hop, then a wider one, and melted back into the mangroves. Mocha arched, let out the tiniest hiss, and stepped backward, like returning a bow. That night changed how I see pet ownership in Australia. Our wildlife has evolved a toolkit for living with threats, alarms, body language, escape routes. Our pets, especially cats, don't come with that manual. Most of the time, they don't even realize they're a threat. Incidents happen not from malice, but misunderstanding. Knowledge is the difference. Here are the most practical lessons from that moment, ways to save wildlife and keep your animals safe too. First, the golden rule of dusk. Dusk feels cozy to us. Bins out, cuppa on. But for wildlife, it's rush hour. The first couple of hours after sunset are prime time for movement and feeding, and it's exactly when cats are most active. It's like sending your kid to play on a highway at peak traffic. In Queensland, most cat wildlife run-ins happen between sunset and sunrise, especially just after dusk. So I stopped letting Mocha roam unsupervised once the light faded, even just the backyard. I also made small changes, trimmed low branches that made ambush points, added a bell collar and a bright bib to give wildlife a head start, and put in motion sensor lights. The lights did double duty. If wildlife was around, I knew it, and that sudden wash of light nudged animals to keep moving. Think of this as prevention, not punishment. You're not limiting freedom, you're removing the most dangerous window of temptation for everyone. Second, build a multi-level refuge. Cats don't just need space. They need altitude. Vertical territory changes everything. I put in high platforms at head height for me, about 1.5 meters to 2 meters, some mid-height perches, and a few ground-level tunnels of dense plants. I tucked a water bowl up high and a covered cushion under foliage, and planted natives like Grevillea and Banksia. The birds they attract are fascinating to watch from a distance, but branches keep them out of reach. That sanctuary turned Mocha from a chaser into a watcher. When a cat can see without needing to get closer, curiosity gets satisfied and predatory instincts don't take over. Third, become a naturalist in your own yard. You don't need to be an expert. Just start noticing. Wildlife broadcasts how it feels with signs, like indicators on a car. A wallaby's sudden vertical hop and foot thump, alarm. A possum's arched back and low growl, on edge, ears flicking in different directions, mapping threats, repetitive paw stamping, a tail snapping side to side, stress signals. When you read these, you can act early. I don't yell. I lower my voice, soften my movements, and call my cat once, gently. I might step between her and the animal without looming, just a calm human speed bump. If it's safe, I pick her up, turn us away, and head inside. Learn a handful of signals, and you dramatically cut risk, like learning 5 road signs before you start driving. Now, restraint, what I call the invisible hand. A wild animal in your yard has a reason. Food, water, a corridor it's always used. Our job isn't to control nature, it's to create safe exits and avoid turning curiosity into a chase. I only step in if my animal or the wild one is in immediate trouble. If not, I take 2 steps back and make the path out obvious. Hold a door open. Keep the area quiet. Don't corner the animal. The fastest way to spark Panit is to block an escape. Give it an easy runway, and it will take it. If an animal is injured or in distress, call a local wildlife carer or rescue group. Don't be a hero with your hands. Stress can harm as much as injury. A few small, high-impact tweaks round it out. Secure fences and gates, not just for dogs. Mesh small enough to discourage tiny marsupials can prevent surprises. If your cat loves the night, shift their rhythm. Make dusk the fun hour indoors, 10 minutes of wand play, a food puzzle, a scatter of treats to hunt, then dinner. Match nature's schedule safely. If space allows, try a catio or supervised harness sessions in daylight. A bit of structure turns a prowler into a patroller. Here's a perspective shift. We see wildlife as visitors to our homes, but it's really the opposite. Your yard sits inside their world. Wallabies follow routes older than our fences. Possums know which tree flowers when. They're not mischievous when they arrive on schedule. Hold that in mind and your actions soften. You stop reacting and start anticipating. If this feels like a lot, start small. Try this challenge. Spend 15 minutes a day just watching. No phone, no podcast. Well, finish this one first. Then step outside. Notice what moves when the wind drops. Listen for small sounds. You'll start to hear different footfalls, see different gaits, watch ears track a noise, and tails tick like metronomes for nerves. In a month, you'll be reading your backyard like a book. And when you know the story, you can edit the conflicts before they happen. Back to that night with Mocha and the Patamelon. What saved us wasn't a high fence or a perfect plan. It was choosing not to pour fuel on the moment. Stillness. Space. Trust that both animals preferred peace over drama. After the wallaby left, Mocha came in, tail down, pupils relaxing, and ate like nothing had happened. But for me, everything had changed. A domestic pet in Australia isn't just a companion. It's a daily decision to be a good neighbor to one of the richest ecosystems on Earth. If you remember only a few ideas, let them be these. Treat dusk like rush hour. Keep your cat inside or supervised. Give your cat height and hideaways so watching beats chasing. Learn a few wildlife signals. The thump, the growl, those radar ears, and respond early and calmly. Be the invisible hand. Open the exit, reduce the noise, and let wild animals pass through safely. All the nitty-gritty, plans to choose, how to build that multi-level refuge, what gear helps, is in the written guide. But honestly, you already hold the most powerful tool, attention. When we pay attention, we make better choices. Better choices keep pets safe, wildlife thriving, and evenings quiet. Here's to the gentle art of coexistence. To the cat who learns to watch from a perch instead of from the bushes. To the wallaby that thumps, pauses, and hops on. And to you, for choosing knowledge over fear and curiosity over control. Thanks for listening, and may your backyard be full of life and just the right amount of drama.